Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You have blessed us in so many ways. The very fact that we are breathing right now is nothing but love to us. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the food that we have today that we were able to enjoy. Just everything through our life, we can thank you for the blessings, Lord. Let us not take for granted the things that we enjoy every day, and let us glorify you in all that we do. Father, we pray for those who could not make it tonight, Lord. Keep them safe, wherever they might be. Let them know that we miss them and that we love them. But more importantly, we pray tonight, O God, that as we look to your holy word, that as always, that it would accomplish its good, perfect work in all of our lives here tonight, Lord. We pray this. Cause it to change us, to convict us, to make us be more like your Son, Jesus. Let Christ be the treasure of our hearts. Let us imitate him in all that we do and say, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, Jude, be on verse 8, but let's just start reading from verse 1, just to catch up, keep everything in proper context and order. Jude, verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Verse 8. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Okay, so we've gone, here Jude has taken us, reminding us that we are called by God, that we are preserved in Jesus Christ, that mercy and peace and love be multiplied to us. And he reminds us that we all share in a common salvation, but he found it necessary to write for us to what? To contend earnestly for the faith. Obviously, to the readers here, he's telling them that they need to contend for the faith. Why is it that he's telling the people here who are reading this to contend earnestly for the faith? Who remembers? Ben?
Because apostates were creeping into the church.
Okay, very good. Apostates, as we read in verse 4, had crept in unnoticed, right? This is why he's telling the saints here that they need to contend earnestly for the faith. Now again, does this mean that they were to take up arms and then go take people's heads off? No, right? But with sound doctrine, with the truth, they needed to contend for the faith, right? How do we do this if we do not know the truth? If we're not reading our Bibles, right? We need to be in the Bible, daily bread, right? We need to know the truth. We need to be in church, listening to our pastors, being fed the word, and we, on our own, all of us in here need to be students of the word. All of us. We need to be students of the word. Right? How can we defend what we don't know? Okay? So, Jude is saying here that the saints, Christians, they need to contend earnestly for the faith. Verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed. MacArthur calls them pretenders, right? Because they're pretending, that's what apostates are, They're pretending to be something they're not. These apostates, the difference between an apostate and a false teacher is that apostate will claim to be a Christian. And they'll say all the right things as necessary to get in where they want to be, and then to do the evil that they have planned, right? Okay, so they have crept in unnoticed. They're in the midst. And now we need to be careful, he's saying. Because they've crept in, and now they want to dismantle the body. They want to cause harm to the body. They want to pick off the weak ones, right? This is why we must be strong in true, sound doctrine, and contend and defend the faith. He then listed three examples of what happens to apostates, because he says that long ago they were marked out for this condemnation. He then listed three examples of what happens to those who turn from God, who apostate, and they cause damage and turn from the one true God, right? We read of those in the wilderness who turned and did not believe. We read of the angels who did not keep the proper domain. And we read of Sodom and Gomorrah and their sinfulness, right? And what did we go to learn last week about apostates, right? At the end of verse 7, that these are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Right? That's where we left off last week, that these apostates, they are having their judgment that will come to them. Right? So we have an example. He reminds us of three things. This is what's going to happen to those who turn from God and try to cause harm to the body of Christ. Now let's look at verse 8. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh. They reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Okay? So he says, likewise, or another version puts it, yet in the same manner, these dreamers, the sense as though these men having such dreadful examples set clearly before them, they continue in their sin. They were persistent to remain in their sin. They wanted to get in and then cause their damage and do their harm. This is what apostates want to do. They say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll say all the right things. I'll even quote scriptures. But once they're in, once they've crept in or slipped in unnoticed, this is when they do the thing that they have planned, their evil intentions. And this is why apostates are so serious. It's a serious threat. Okay? So these dreamers, he's calling them, means one holding vain and empty opinions. It's applied to these persons as holding doctrines and opinions which sustain the same relation to truth which dreams do to good sense. Their doctrines were the fruits of mere imagination, foolish vagaries and fancies. This is what they were. They dreamed up things. Some of them even went too far as say, I had a dream. Thus, it is special revelation, somewhat like the Gnostics, if you remember the Gnostics from 1 John, we went through that. So they claim to have some special revelation or dream, and then remember, once they've crept in, they've been in some position of authority or whatever, then they'd be able to do their thing. They say, hey, I had a dream, and in my dream, God said for us to do this. Right? And they would start telling the people that, well, you must do this. This is what God told me, so it's truth. Right? And so, if the Christians, if the saints, weren't up to the Word of God, if they did not know the truth, they might fall prey. Right? You see what I'm trying to say here? So, they were dreamers, but their dreams were empty. They were vain. They were conjured up. They were wicked. Alright? Calvin puts it, they polluted their flesh, as it were, by dreaming, by which words he denotes their stupid effrontery, as though he had said that they abandoned themselves to all kinds of filth, which the most wicked abhor, except sleep took away shame and also consciousness. It is then a metaphorical mode of speaking, by which he intimates that they were so dull and stupid as to give up themselves without any shame to every kind of baseness. It is almost as if they were more innocent if they truly were sleeping. But they're not. They're not. They're dreamers. They've been carried away. Their thoughts are vile and wicked. This is what these apostates are. Jude then lists three things there that these apostates are given to. They're these dreamers. Number one is they defile the flesh. Yet they defile. These dreamers, they defile the flesh. The Greek defile is me'ichaino. It means to stain with color, or like staining as of a glass. You know, when you see a glass that is stained, okay? But it also means to pollute or defile. So it's not as if, you know, a work of art staining of the glass, but it's polluted, it's defiled, okay? So that's what defile means. The flesh here is sarx, and it means the physical body. So the physical body has been polluted, or defiled. So together, they stain, pollute, and defile the body. These apostates. In other words, they are sexual immoral. Okay? They have defiled their bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-5 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." Okay? But we know that these apostates from earlier, that they turn the grace of God into lewdness. Remember verse 4. Okay? So they're full of wretchedness and sin, full of sexual immorality. And this is exactly what Jude is saying about these apostates. He's saying, these dreamers, these apostates, these men who have crept in, who are trying to damage you, who are trying to hurt you, who turn the truth of God into lewdness, they defile their own flesh. They pollute their own body. They defile it. We should not be following after them. They're apostates. They have turned from God. They do not serve the one true God. They serve themselves. They have an ill motive here. And it's for them to gain. And how are they gaining then if they are defiling the flesh? Right? They're probably taking advantage of people. So that their sinful lusts can be fulfilled. Right? They are condemned. In verse 19 of Jude, we read that these apostates do not have the Spirit. And so, if they do not have the Spirit within them, like all Christians do, they are controlled then by what? The flesh. Always. They have not the Spirit to guide them, to lead them in truth. And so if they're controlled by the flesh, they're still lost in their sin. They're enslaved to their sin still. They do not know where they are going. They are without hope, controlled by the sinfulness of their lust, right? Just like the pig. He wants in that mud, roll around all in it. They're still lost in it. They're still enslaved to their sin. If they have not the Spirit, who, what are they led in by? The sinful flesh. They're depraved still. So he continues on. So these dreamers defile the flesh. They're sexual immoral. In other words, and also, they reject authority. They reject authority, or they despise dominion, as the King James puts it, meaning Lord or Mighty One. The word is peculiar to the New Testament and denotes the kingly glory of Christ. So they reject Christ's lordship, right? And we also read this in verse 4 also, that they turn to lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again, Jude tells us that these apostates, though they claim to be Christians, though they claim to serve God, they do not. They deny the lordship of Christ Jesus. They deny His authority. They deny who He is and what He's done. And when you do that, you deny God himself. Remember 1 John. They reject authority, meaning they reject Christ. They reject his being God, his kingly glory. These apostates would want nothing more than to destroy the lordship of Christ so that they are to submit to no one but themselves. They don't want to, and that's the point. They don't want to submit to anyone, especially Christ. Because, again, they have no motives here. They have an agenda, an evil agenda that they want to accomplish. And so they deny the lordship of Christ. Who is this man Christ to tell me what I need to do? I'm my own man. And in doing so, they reject any established authority. And who do authority is established by who? By God, Romans. Romans tells us that all authority is established by God. And so, if these apostates here were rejecting civil authority, who are they ultimately rejecting? Rejecting God himself. And so, if they're then rejecting the lordship of Christ, they're rejecting the Father also. You see how wicked they are in rejecting the glory of our Savior, the lordship of Christ? Here these people, these called out ones, have come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. These apostates then come in and want to deny his lordship. And so if they're not strong in truth, if they're not able to defend it, they might fall to prey. But they've got to know that Christ is the God-man. Right? He's God incarnate. He is king. He is ruler. He is sovereign. He is full of glory. And we cannot deny Christ. We cannot deny any of his attributes. He is God incarnate. He continues then. He says, they speak evil of dignitaries. The word rendered dignitaries here means properly honor, glory, or splendor. Literally, it is glories. So whether it's talking about earthly or heavenly dignitaries, then that which is fitted to inspire respect, that which is dignified or exalted. Now, there was a little bit of different commentary on both of these. Some of them thought he was just talking about to those whom God appointed to proclaim his word. Others were speaking of angelic beings, and still other commentaries said that here it's speaking of dignitaries, meaning God himself or Christ himself. But either way, it would be fine, because we cannot, if we dishonor whether it's Christ or those whom he has appointed to preach his word, we are dishonoring God himself. To speak evil is to revile or blaspheme. And we know we can't blaspheme God. And these apostates were blaspheming God. This is exactly what they were doing. Remember, they crept in. They slipped in unnoticed. That's like to say that, you know, here we are at this church and there's, you know, Brother Bob or Sister Sue or whatever. And we think them to be Christians. You know, we might have even got to know them a little bit. And then a little time goes by, and sooner or later they're in some sort of position of teaching, whether it be a class or whatever, a Bible study at home or whatever. And then once in that position, they start teaching stuff that doesn't line up with the Word of God, because they have evil intentions. They have a motive here that they want to fulfill. Right? And they want to pick off ones wherever they can. And they want to blaspheme the Word of God. Right? Hey, I had special revelation from God. This is what he told me. You see why it's so urgent, why Jude changes course? And I've said this over and over. He says, while I found it, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith. These apostates, which Peter had warned about, Jude is now dealing with. They're in the midst. They've crept in. And Jude needs to take it on head on. And he's telling, look, you called out once. You are sanctified by God. You are preserved in Christ Jesus. And you need to defend the truth. You need to contend earnestly for the faith. The faith which you are saved by. That Christ came and He is God. And He died for your sins. He rose again and He lives now. Do you still believe this? Do you really believe this? Because some are here now in our midst and they're denying Christ's lordship. And they defile their bodies. They are wicked and sinful men, yet they are here trying to deceive you. This is what Jude is saying here. And this is was his sense of urgency. And then he lists the three examples of what's going to happen to apostates. And they weren't pleasant, were they? When we went through those, we saw how those people were utterly destroyed. Last week, Sodom and Gomorrah, what happens to them? Remember, Abraham comes and he looks and he says it's like a furnace. It's just wiped out. The sinful people, remember, they wanted to get to the two angels. They were so wicked. They were so sinful. But he's explaining that this is the same as these apostates. They're wicked. They're sinful. Their thinking is polluted. Their actions are polluted. And by the way, they want to get you. They want to deceive you. And they want to pollute you. This is why he's saying that they must contend for the faith. They are dreamers. They are dreamers. They defile the flesh. They reject authority. Reject Christ Himself, and they reject any authority. And we know, like I said, that all authority is established by God. Whether your parents, your elders, the governor, the mayor, the president, all authority is established by God. We, as Christians, must respect authority and submit to authority figures. When you're disrespectful to your teachers, you're sinning against God. When you're talking ill about the president or the governor, even though you may not have voted for him, that authority is established by God for His good purpose. He is sovereign. He is in control. We trust in God that He puts a person in a position for His reasoning. We might not always understand it, but our God is in control. This is what His Word tells us. All authority, not some authority, not 75% of authority, all authority is established by God. And to reject that authority is to sin against God. And yet these men here, they do that. They reject authority. They do not want to submit. They don't want to bow down to anybody. Now, when is the only time that we would not submit to, you know, authority?
When they ask us to sit. When they ask us to sit. Okay?
Let's just say, this is a silly example, I know, but let's just say a mayor, some mayor from somewhere, comes in here and says, because I'm the mayor, I'm going to have all of you in here 3 times a week bow down to this statue of me. Right? We have that example, right? Who do we have that example of? Okay. Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Bow down to me. Now, they don't cause a big uproar, do they? They simply just stand there. They're still being respectful. They're still submitting, but they say, we will not sin against our God. That is the only time you would not submit to authority, but you could still be respectful. Right? You understand what I'm trying to say? Again, of course you will. These apostates are wicked men. And Jude is trying to get this point across. He's saying, they have their wrath coming. And some of them have already received it. They've been wiped out and are suffering now. But he's giving a warning. He's saying, these are set forth as an example. And remember that these men who are here now, he says, they are dreamers. They reject authority, including the authority of Christ. They defile their bodies. Christ tells us to be purity, right? He tells us to be people who are pure. He tells us to imitate Christ, to follow Him, to be led by the Spirit. These men do not have the Spirit. And so they're being led by their depraved, sinful flesh. You see the point he's trying to make here? And they speak evil of dignitaries, whether it be of the good angels, or of God Himself, or of Christ, or if these men, these apostates, are trying to attack true preachers of the Word, like Jude himself. It might have been that these men were trying to convince people that, hey, Jude is, he's just a whacked guy. When we know that Jude here is a man of God. He writes this under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he might have been under attack himself. Reminding the called out ones, the saints, the Christians, that look, you know the truth. Cling to it. Don't let go of it. Be careful what you listen to. Reject that. What did Titus say to do with false teachers? That they needed to be muzzled. Be put out to be muzzled so that they cannot cause harm to the body of Christ. And so, just as in Jude's time, there's still apostates all around us today. This is why I tell you over and over and over that you guys have got to be reading your Bibles. You cannot even take for granted when you come here on Friday nights. You need to go home and study and make sure what I'm teaching you is truth. Ask your parents. Hey, Pastor Brandon said this. What do you think, Mom and Dad? You cannot take for granted. Anytime you're listening to someone teaching you, go home and make sure. This is what it is to be a student of the Word of God. You're constantly in it. You hear a message and you want to make sure. Are we students of the Word of God? So that if someone slips in, creeps in unnoticed, as was the case here, and they start talking all this stuff, we can say, oh, wait a minute. You know, that doesn't sound right here. And then we can contend for the faith. And we can say, no, you know, but look right here. And look here. And look here. This is what it means to contend earnestly for the faith. First of all, you need to know the truth. You need to study and meditate it and hide it in your hearts. Number one, because you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because you delight in it. It strengthens you. It encourages you. It causes you to grow up spiritually. These should not be collecting dust. We need to know this because there are apostates and false teachers out there now who want to pick us up. They want to bring harm to the body of Christ, especially to the children of God. We must study it. We must meditate upon it. We must hide it away that we might not sin against God. And Jude gets across the very serious point, the last few verses, that these apostates who are here, he's saying, they will have their judgment. And it's also a warning that we, you must not turn like they have. We see the wrath that awaits them. And we don't want that wrath, do we? Praise be to God that Christ took the wrath that was due us upon himself. He took the wrath of God upon himself for us. We have been rescued. He has saved us. He has qualified us to be his children. Let us then cling to him and follow him. Let us be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Yes, it's a battle every single day. We wrestle with the flesh every single day. But we have victory in Christ. So let us together read our Bibles and grow and grow and grow and be led by the Spirit. He will guide us. He will lead us in all truth. Amen? And beware of apostates. How do you know? Don't know. Gracious Heavenly Father, without you, we are weak. Without you, we are helpless. But we are so thankful that we have you in our lives. You abide in us. And we have your written word. Let us not be lazy in this. Let us not take your word for granted. We are so blessed here in America that we have 3 or 4 or 5, 6 Bibles in our houses. Lord, let us all be students of the word. For various reasons. Number one, because we delight in your word. It causes us to grow and to be strengthened and to know you more and to know who you are and what you've done and how awesome and mighty you are. But it also helps us to know the truth from error. Because nothing has changed. There are still false teachers. There are still apostates. And they do the work of Satan. They want to bring us harm. They want to deceive, if possible, the elect. Let us be students. Let us know the truth. And let us cling to that truth. And never let go. We stand not in our own strength, but in your strength, O Christ. Lead us, guide us in all truth, and let us earnestly contend for the faith. I pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.